The challenges of life, what you just saw on the screen is a reminder to all of us that we have those challenges, things every week that we are reminded of. You know what? Man, somebody else has got it better than me. Well, today we jump back into our series. We've been talking about there's an app for that, some of the challenges of life. Boy, today's subject has been an interesting one as I've studied through this. We've been using the little phrase, there's an app for that. Every week that goes by, it's interesting. You can take your devices, your phones, your iPads, your computers, and you can look up information about things that you had no idea about. I mean, at any moment, we don't have to go to the Encyclopedia Britannica anymore. We can find out information, not just information, but we can watch a video on it at any moment to find out how to do something. If something breaks this week in your house, there's an app for that. If your child is disobeying you this week, there's an app for that. If you got a toothache and it's hurting, there's an app for that. I guarantee you, any type of information in your life, there's an app for that. In the Christian life, apps were discovered a long, long time ago. And it started with the simple Word of God. God gave us what we needed to know to live this life with each other, as hard as that is sometimes, because there's an app for that found in the Word of God. Today, we're going to be looking at the issue of jealousy. Now, I know some of you are thinking, uh-oh, here we go. The preacher's going to meddle a little bit today. Yes, I will have to admit, I'm going to meddle in our business today, all right? I'm going to get where we live on this, because this is one of the challenges that I see in the Christian life that face us every day. And I searched for some news stories this week that had to do with the subject of jealousy. And you can take your Bibles, your devices, and look over to James chapter 3, or you can follow along on our church app or YouVersion or on your devices. That's fine. But in searching for these news stories that had to do with the subject of jealousy, something came up that was a frightening discovery, actually. On the very first page where I searched, there were 5 murders listed that had to do with jealousy. As a matter of fact, as I continued to search on the subject, page after page revealed murder after murder after murder after suicide that had to do with the subject of jealousy. Now, to be honest with you, as I was trying to study it a little more, where I thought, okay, I need to find where this, you know, rubber meets the road for what I'm going to be preaching on this Sunday when it comes to the subject of jealousy. And, you know, I started thinking about our church membership, and I just could not come up with that many church members who had committed murder in our church. I got a few. I'll tell you about them after church. But anyway, no. So I thought, well, what am I going to do about this? You know, the subject of jealousy seems to be tied to murder and suicide. And I started thinking, well, you know, it's interesting as you think that thing through that is a lot of times the end result of jealousy. Jealousy may not start off all the way that far, and it won't. Murder is not the first thing that crosses mind as this is the way I'm going to solve my problem. I'm going to murder somebody. But it can get there. It can get there. To say that it has bad effects and consequences on our lives is a gross understatement. Jealousy is a terrible enemy of all of us. And to be quite honest with you, today social media has only made the matter much worse. Some of you, even this morning, having taken time to look on social media at things, have probably had a little bit of jealousy that has gone on. If you've taken time to peruse Facebook, probably today you have seen somebody that is out there in the middle of the Caribbean right now on that cruise ship. And you thought, man, I wish I was there. I ain't never going on a cruise. There you could see yourself in their place. And for just a little moment, you had a jealousy. It rose up in your heart. And I hope that you didn't at the moment say, you know what, I want to murder that person for being out there. But jealousy was there in its small form. If you're human today, and I think you are, you have faced times of jealousy in your life. And for some of us, it may have caused life-changing problems. As long as we have relationships in this life, We will have bouts of jealousy. Families and marriages are devastated every year because of jealousy and envy. Working relationships are strained constantly because of jealousy. And I say all that to say that it is a real problem that can't be ignored for all of us. And Scripture certainly does not ignore the issue of jealousy for believers. I find when I study the Word of God that there are many things mentioned about this subject of jealousy that are pointed at God's people, God's church, because of its devastating effects. Now, simply this today, what is jealousy? Let's get the definition out there, okay? It's simply this: resentment against a rival, a person enjoying success or advantage, etc., against another's success or advantage itself. So just let that sink in for just a moment. And I don't really need to spend time explaining too much today what it is, but what I do want to do today is give us a checklist, okay? This is going to be a very simple message today. Whether you've come into the building today as a believer or not, Christ follower or not, you have the challenge of jealousy that goes on in your life that can cause you huge, huge problems. So let's just look at our passage today and learn some words of wisdom. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, I would venture to say that every one of the principles that we'll talk about, the causes of evil and sin, is the dangerous feeling called jealousy or envy. At its very core, every sin in our lives is based on some type of a jealous feeling, whether it's for ourselves or towards someone else. Envy that's left unchecked becomes a primary instigator in our lives and a propagator of every other evil thought and action imaginable in our lives. It's a characteristic of the wicked. It's selfish ambition. It's greed. It's malice. It is murder at its end. It's no wonder that James attributes the cause of fights and quarrels among his readers as being your desires that battle within you. This is over in chapter 4. Your desires that battle within you. And he goes on to describe this disturbing characteristic to be when you want something, but you don't get it. He goes on in chapter 4, verse 2, he says, here's what happens when it gets to that point. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. Now, Webster's Dictionary says this about the word envy: a feeling of antagonism towards someone because of some good which he's enjoying but which one does not have for oneself. Ooh, there it is. A coveting for oneself of the good which someone else is enjoying. I mentioned that cruise ship a minute ago. In other words, jealousy, envy, we use words interchangeably today, is saying, I like what you've got. I don't like the fact that you have it, and I want it. I mean, how many of you ever had the feeling, let me just throw some things out at you today, these where we live type things. It's the emotion of a child who throws a temper tantrum when his or her sibling has something that they want. I know none of you have ever viewed this scene, right, that I've got on the screen here today. If you had a child around you at any point, you've seen this right here. It's the emotion of a woman when she sees someone in the clothing store trying on clothes three sizes smaller than her size, clothes that perhaps don't even come in her size, a feeling that can come over her. It's the emotion of a man after a fruitless day-long attempt at catching the big one, right? And a boat pull, you pull your boat into the shore, and there's a 7-year-old kid standing there with a 10-pound bass on the shore, for crying out loud, and you've spent $45 in gas, $20 in food, you know, and you're the bass boat that cost you $30,000, and there's the kid looking at you like this. Come on, guys. Did I get that one right? A little jealousy going on. You try your best to encourage the kid. That's a nice fish, son. Maybe it's the emotion you feel when your friend drives up in that new car and you're still stuck with that junker that you've had for years and years and you don't have the money to get that nice car, and there they are in the parking lot at church. Now, I used a specific car here this morning. I used the new Ferrari SUV because I knew that none of you would have that today. So we could all be jealous together. I think this one does 0 to 60 in about 3 seconds. So anyway, this will give us all something to be jealous about. Don't you dare go out and buy one of these this week. We'll know where your tithe money goes. Maybe it's the emotion when all of us hear on the news that the latest winner of the $500 million jackpot has been discovered. And there he is. Ah, wouldn't it be nice just to live out life on the good side of things for once? A little jealousy there in our hearts. For some of us, hopefully the feeling is fleeting. You get the emotion for just an instant. But for others, it's a feeling that sticks in our hearts. It irritates us. It grinds away at our soul. And for those who harbor these feelings in our hearts and have trouble with jealousy today, be warned. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Very, very good description today. Folks, jealousy is crippling. A person with jealousy is a person with a troubled heart, a person with a troubled mind, a troubled life. You say, well, then how does it cripple us? What's the big deal about this? That sounds like you're going a little bit too far there. But the collateral damage that jealousy brings to our lives can be devastating. It's not an emotion that will let you go once it's gripped you. It puts its hooks into you and it hangs on and it permeates every area of your life. Let me say to you today, those of you that may have come in the building today that do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, one of the challenges you'll have, the primary challenges in your life, is living a life that perhaps is owned by jealousy. If you don't know the Savior today as your Lord, you've got a challenge that's beyond believers. Believers, you have the Holy Spirit there that are helping you, but if you're not a believer here today, your life is pretty much consumed with jealous thoughts, because if you don't have Jesus in your life, it's all about you. So really being jealous is, you know, it's just what the average person does. I would say to you today, you can do better. You can do better than live for yourself. God wants to give you a life that is free of these types of issues, a life that is not about you and yourself, a life that is surrounded by the love of God that helps you to live for others and not be so consumed by the things of life that might cause jealousy to well up. But for those of us that are believers here today, I want to say again, we're not immune to it. James is actually writing to us today. So I want you to see what he says further in these verses. I'm just going to break it down in bullet point. This is simple. But I want you to see, first of all, what can happen. How can it cripple us? Here's the bucket of fun that you can get with jealousy, according to our text. First, it mentions you will be false to the truth. You will be prone to lying in your life. Now, you'll notice that the very first thing that is mentioned here is one of the big seven in the Word of God, one of the big seven sins that's mentioned as a warning of something that would drag you to hell is lying. And here it is as a warning. Even as believers, the Bible says you will be prone to lying. If you're searching out things in your life and you just can't have enough and you're jealous about things, lying seems to be something that is normal to this type of behavior. And why? Secondly, because you will be carnally minded. What happens in the hearts of believers and in anyone when you are consumed with jealous thoughts in your life is that you will turn from the spiritual in your life to the material. And your life will be consumed by carnal things. The pursuit of these things, our passage reminds us in verse 15, but is earthly. Your thoughts will be earthly. You've heard the old saying in the past, perhaps, to be earthly minded is to be of no heavenly good. And that is the warning of this passage, that when we turn our thoughts toward earthly things in this life, it causes us to be consumed with those thoughts of just pleasing me, whatever that may be, some type of fleshly desire. But our passage goes on to describe a few more things. Thirdly, it says you will be unspiritual. Now here's the battle that goes on. When we're consumed by things in this life, you can't be consumed by heavenly things, so you therefore will be unspiritual because your life will not have a spiritual bent to it. It will have an unspiritual bend toward it. You will lean toward the things of this life more than the things of God. It will be a natural thing. As a matter of fact, you realize over in the New Testament, the Bible says, you cannot serve God and money. Y'all remember that? Shake your head at me. You cannot serve God and money. And what the Bible is saying there is you're either unspiritual in this life or you're spiritual. There's not a place to strike a balance. You will lean toward one or you will lean toward the other. God says you've got to choose which way you're going to go, because if you lean toward the earthly things, you will be unspiritual. Verse 15 uses that very word, unspiritual. Now already you see in just these first three things the damaging effects of jealousy and envy in our life. But there are several more. Let me give these to you. Number four, you will be a target for demons. You will be a target for demons. Look at verse 15 again with me. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. On Wednesday night, I've been teaching a class, and we've been talking about spiritual warfare, and we spoke specifically about demonic forces this past week. It's been a very good study. The demonic forces are all around us. Now, we don't get to see those. You know, sometimes I think it would be good for us to see those so that maybe it'll scare us a little bit. But then again, I'm not sure what the devastating effects would be to see the spiritual world. But what we do know is that darkness is around us. Spiritual forces are at work. Can I remind us again today, believers, that we are not immune to demonic forces. They fight against us constantly. The devil hates us today, every one of us. We are the image of God. He hates that very fact, and he hates you individually today, and so he is going to send his demonic forces to do everything he can to disrupt your life. Now, if he came after you in a big way that was scary, that wouldn't do any good. But he knows how to work things, doesn't he? He knows what areas that he can send his forces to attack you in. And it might be in this very area of jealousy that he attacks you. He comes after you with his demons. So to give in to jealousy is to listen to the demons. It's demonic in nature. Not only that, your life will be chaotic. Have you ever heard the saying, yeah, they're chasing the almighty dollar? You ever heard that? Folks that are consumed with jealousy are after the goods in this life. They're after something bigger, something better, something more in this life. And it seems like these folks are completely chaotic. They can't hold it together because they're here and there and everywhere because they're consumed with the thoughts of how can I get more? I've got to find that way to get where I'm going. And their life just seems to be all over the place. The verse 16 says, there will be disorder. Disorder. Scattered. Can't hold it together. can't seem to stay focused and on track, your life will be chaotic in the pursuit of the things that you don't have. Because I can promise you this, what you think you want today is not something that you're going to want tomorrow, right? Did you ever have to have that one particular thing? Maybe growing up or maybe even as an adult, did you always have this one thing that you just had to have? Shake your head at me. Don't feel so lonely up here. You have these thoughts. You pursue that thing. Maybe when you're younger, you had this one particular thing that you had to have, and you ran a paper route on your bicycle, and you worked after that thing for months and months and months, and you saved your money, and it was going to be the greatest thing in the world, and you got that thing, and then next week you're like, oh, really? Hopefully we grow out of that. But the truth is, a lot of adults don't. It's just the new thing that we have to go after. We're envious of new things, you know? I got this, but I want something more, you know? I got this particular automobile, but I need a new one. I've got this particular wife, but I need a new one, all right? The sky is the limit. We go on vacation, you know, over to the lake this year, but really what I'm trying to work, I want to go to Italy is what I really want to do, right? And it's never, never, never enough. Chaos surrounds us. It's going to keep us guessing all the time because the demonic forces say, yeah, I'm going to string you along. I'm going to keep you wanting something more in your life. You see how all these things are tying together? Unspiritual, demonic, carnally minded, chaotic. Let me give you one more in this bucket of fun that I've mentioned to you. Your life will be sin-filled. Verse 16 says, you'll be prone to every vile practice. Well, how in the world does that happen? Listen, when people are consumed with the pursuit of things in this life, again, using an old saying, they will stop at nothing. And believers will be the same way. Never happy, never satisfied. Somehow I got to get there, and there's going to be some bending of the rules. Back to our first thing, you'll be prone to lying. There will be some things in your life that you didn't know you were capable of. As the forces of darkness work against you, they're going to cause you to live a life, and you just all of a sudden you find yourself into vile practices in your life because your behavior is wrapped around being jealous and envious. Now, James paints a pretty bleak picture of how things are going to be in the life of one who is consumed with jealousy. And it's just about as ugly as it gets when you look at those six things. When jealousy takes root, no sin is off the table. Whatever it takes to get on the top is going to be our motto. It's the ultimate in degradation in our lives at that point. We'll be controlled and consumed with these things rather than controlled and consumed with the Holy Spirit. But as we've done in the weeks past, we won't leave you with a problem and no solution, okay? Because today, I want to mention to you again today, there's an app for that. There's an app for how we correct the problem according to the Word of God. James has actually presented jealousy as hellish wisdom in this passage. And as his antidote, he gives another surprisingly great answer to the problem, heavenly wisdom. And with this wisdom, you get just the opposite result. Imagine that. When you remove carnality and the demons and you insert God and the Holy Spirit, you're going to see a whole different mix in life. You're going to see a whole different type of behavior in your life. Let me ask you this. How much in the last week of your life have you prayed to the Holy Spirit of God for help in any occasion? Anything. Not just as it is pointed toward jealousy or envy today. Have you actually engaged the Holy Spirit in your life in the last week? Our passage reminds us that we have got to have the Holy Spirit, have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit of God that will help us on this path to heavenly wisdom. Here's the list, all right? Here's the opposite of what we can gain today by heavenly wisdom versus what we've seen with jealousy. Number one, holiness in our lives. You see, in verse 18, it says, You'll be sincere in verse 18. Sincere. Harvest of righteousness which is sown in peace by those who make peace. You see that there is sincerity in our lives. Verse 17, I said 18. Impartial and sincere. Holiness rather than carnality will come out of our lives. Number two, there will be peace that flows out. Listen, I don't have to spend a lot of time here today to say that in the pursuit of things in this life, it can cause you to lose so much sleep. It can weigh on your mind so heavily in this life that it consumes everything that you do. And worry would just be a normal thing for us when we pursue earthly things. At this point, listen, don't miss it. There will be a peace that flows out of your life according to verse 17. It will be peaceable. Peaceable. And then over in verse 18, it says it again. It's sown in peace. I don't know about you, but that is what I want in my life more than anything else. Storms can come. Trials can come. Sin, I can be tempted. I just want peace. I just want to lay my head on my pillow at night and be able to sleep peaceably. And this is what we have a choice about today. Verse 13, you'll be gentle-natured. The word gentleness is used here as an antidote in our lives. You will be gentle-natured, one that's not so high-strung. Folks that are always chasing things in this life, consumed with jealousy, high-strung, and always tense, the opposite of peace. This passage says, heavenly wisdom and the Holy Spirit lead you to a life of gentleness that flows out of that peacefulness in our lives. You will be gentle-natured rather than high-strung and ready to explode at any moment, just the opposite. And it leads into number four, you can have calm discussions without arguments. Oh boy, here's one of the meddling things today, right? Some of us are so consumed this life with envy and jealousy and the things of earth that every relationship we have is strained because of those things. But if we learn to let go of those things and we're wrapped in the heavenly wisdom of God and we let the Holy Spirit control us, it says in verse 17, we will be open to reason. We will be open to reason. We can learn to have relationship with others, other relationships that are built on peace. We will be the person that promotes peace rather than one who wears the chip on our shoulder all the time. And as a natural result of having the Holy Spirit in our lives and having heavenly wisdom there, in verse 17, you see the word good fruits used. Number six, good works will be natural to you. Good works will be natural to you. Good fruits. Last summer, I preached a sermon series on the fruits of the Spirit. As we have heavenly wisdom in our lives and we have the Holy Spirit engaging us, those things will flow out of us naturally. But if we're chasing earthly things all of the time, it's not going to be natural for us to have the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to have the fruits of a fleshly life that follows us and that comes out of us rather than a peaceableness that leads us to a life of good fruits, good works toward one another. And as we learn to get along with each other, as we learn to listen to each other and promote peace with each other, number seven, you will be slow to judge. You know, I mentioned at the beginning these things that give us trouble, how, you know, constantly we're bombarded with something else in this life. Something that we desire, and we see other people with these things, and we think, I've just got to have that. And the problem with those types of situations, and I'll mention the Facebook thing again because it ties in, when we see those things, what follows those actions of envy and jealousy? You know what it is? Judgmentalism. We start judging those people. Well, they may have gone on a cruise, but I bet they're in debt to pay for it. Oh, that's a nice car they're driving, but boy, that's probably way more than they can afford. Come on now. I know this is what we do. When we live in the flesh, we allow our hearts to judge others and we're envious of other people, judgmentalism is a natural thing to follow. Verse 18 says, when we live as we should in the Holy Spirit, He will lead us into a life that is impartial. We will be impartial to others. We'll be grateful that people are able to enjoy things. We'll be okay with that, and we won't let it bother us. Wouldn't that be nice for a change? Rather than letting it bug us, we'll be okay with it. You'll be slow to judge. One more thing I want to mention here. The Bible says we will be a sincere person. Sincere person. Verse 17 says, full of good mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And sincere. Now, I'll just say about these things that the second list looks much, much better to me. And really, this sincerity kind of goes back to the opposite of the very first thing that we mentioned, your life being a life of lying. Because I want to be able to trust people. And if the very first thing that the Bible says about people who are envious and jealous all the time is that they will be full of lying in their lives, I want the opposite of that. And it's interesting that in our passage we find the opposite of that, which is being a sincere person. A person that people can trust and know that we tell the truth and know that they can be a friend of ours and not have to worry about that. As we follow heavenly wisdom in our lives, we will learn to be a sincere person. So you tell me today, as we look at these two lists, which one do you want? I know what you would say today. You would say right off the bat, you want the second list, right? I mean, it really can't be more cut and dried. I don't think anyone would intentionally choose ugliness that jealousy brings, but when it takes root, the problem here, now let me remind us as we're coming to the close here today, is that you don't have any choice when the claws of jealousy get a hold of you. Some of us can be consumed by it. We want out, but it's got a hold of us. These things will follow. And that's the warning that James lays out here. I don't know about you, but I get that. I know that this is something that takes work. Why? Because it's the first thing that human nature is prone to do. Take care of me. I want me, me, me. We just don't like it when somebody has something up on us. Things can get ugly in a hurry. The big problem here is that if you don't get rid of jealousy in your life, you simply will not grow as a Christian. Because again, you have decided a path that leads to immaturity as a Christian, a life that is unspiritual. 1 Peter 1, verses 1 to 3 says this, "So put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk." There's the spiritual versus unspiritual. "That by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." So he says here in this passage, we choose either to stay as newborn babes, just barely a believer, or we choose to grow up in the faith and we put away envy and slander and these things that go along with it. And the implication made in this passage is that if you don't rid yourself of malice and deceit and all these things, you will not grow up. For some who have not even experienced the rebirth that comes from Christ's salvation, that growth can't get started today. Let me say to you, your bigger problem is just accepting Christ. Starting today with a new life in Christ. This is a world that is consumed with emotion. That's just how God made us. We choose what path we will walk in this life according to those emotions. We have to let the prevalent characteristic of our lives as believers be one of heavenly wisdom, not of envy. You either choose to be a selfish jerk in this life, or you're going to choose to be a peacemaker according to our passage. It's not much of a choice. Wanda Webb Holloway is a woman from Channelview, Texas, known for hiring a hitman, you may remember the story, to kill the mother of her daughter's cheerleading rival. Back in 1991, Holloway's daughter, Shanna, was beaten out for a spot on her junior high school's cheerleading squad by a girl named Amber Heath. In revenge, you caught what I just said there, right? Junior high cheerleading. In revenge, Holloway asked her ex-brother-in-law, Terry Harper, to hire a hitman to kill Verna Heath, Amber's mother. Holloway wanted the mother killed because she determined that the competing girl would be so devastated by her mother's death that she would drop out of the team, thereby giving the spot to her daughter, Shanna. However, unknown to Holloway, Harper had gone straight to the police after Holloway approached him. And Holloway was arrested the next day, and she became known back then, I guess today too, as the Pom-Pom Mom. And her story actually gained national attention and spawned 2 TV movies. We say, that's just not possible. That's ridiculous. That doesn't happen. That's just a made-up story, right? Again, when I tried to search the subject, on the very first page were 5 different murders because of jealousy. Am I trying to just do a shock thing here today just to try to shock us into behaving well? Well, okay, I can live with that. What I do want to do is wake us up to the fact that none of us are immune to this type of behavior. I don't know where it could lead. All I know is that time and time and time again, human beings show themselves to be bad, bad, bad at their core. And none of us are immune to that, not even believers today. We need to be aware of it. We need to be aware that we're under attack and that Satan wants to get a foothold today. There's an app for that, and it's God's Word. I hope that we'll take it into our hearts today. Let the Holy Spirit do some correcting if necessary. Father, today I thank you for your word. Lord, as a pastor, I have to admit, there's so many times when I don't know why you direct my thoughts the way you do. Lord, there were months ago when you directed me to this subject as I decided what I would be preaching for this year. And I don't know why, but I've preached it the very best that I can today. So here it is. Lord, I have laid it out to our people. And I pray that you would help us to listen, help us, Lord, to learn, and then help us, Lord, to act on what you may be prompting us to do. Lord, today we've come to this building because we have sought spiritual knowledge. We've given our time and our effort, and here we are, and now undoubtedly your Holy Spirit has spoken to hearts. So for us, it comes to time to be invited. To be invited to make some type of a change in our lives. Perhaps, Lord, it would be someone in the room that has not yet given their heart to you. And Lord, today I will admit this message is not one that is just for unbelievers. Lord, today I pray that they would take a close look at the cross of Jesus. I pray they would understand the challenge of living this life without Jesus. And Lord, we sang the song a minute ago, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And maybe they walked into the room today not really understanding what the Christian life is all about. But Lord, they can. They can start today understanding how great it is to be a follower of Christ, to live a life that is not about me, and it's a life of freedom and peace and joy and contentment, a life that is free of envy and jealousy. It can be led by the Holy Spirit into something much better. Then for them today, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day that they surrender their heart and life to you. So, dear friend, today if you're in the room and you haven't given your heart to Jesus, start there. Give Him your heart today. This is the day for something new, to start your new life in Christ. Lord, today I pray for my brethren, those who have been saved. And perhaps there's some that are struggling with this subject in their lives today. Lord, would you help them to become free of that today? Would they release the bondage that this can bring? To again concentrate on the bigger picture in this life, what things are supposed to be like as they follow the Holy Spirit into a life lived for others and for you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I realize this is one of those messages that hits us hard inside. Hard to know how to respond. But today I just want us to be conscious of what the Holy Spirit may be saying individually. I don't know what your struggle is with what we're talking about here. So I'm going to ask you where you're seated there today, believer. If God is speaking to your heart, then boy, you better have a prayer right now, forgiveness, and beg God to help you get free of envy and jealousy in your life so that you can be free to serve Him instead. No one can serve God and money in this life. It's impossible. But we got to free ourselves to reach people. I'm going to have Ryan sing just a verse of this in chorus. While we remain in a prayerful state, if God's prompting you to come to the altar today, we're going to give you time to do that. So Ryan, lead us in a verse of that. Let's just, in the quiet of the moment, be prayerful. So many times I've been in services where I preached on a particular subject, only to find out that God was working in a different way for different people. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He chooses to get in your mind, in your heart, and He may be speaking to you about something totally different. Well, listen to His voice, folks. This is the time where we do business with Him. Learn to respond to whatever He is saying, not just on this subject, but if God has brought something to your mind today, you're among friends. This is where we pray about those things, and we seek the face of God on your behalf, and hope that you can pray that matter through today and get right with Him. Right now, in the quiet of the moment, listen to His voice and whatever He's saying in your heart. This is your time. I've had my time. This is your time. Do business with God. Business is the greatest business. Sometimes we get so bent out of shape. We got to get somewhere. Got to do something. I want us to learn to relax in this moment right here. Learn to enjoy the time when folks are praying and doing business with God. Whatever it is you got going when you leave this building in a minute, is not near as important as what's going on right here. This is why we have this church. It's for folks to do business with God. And perhaps you need to say a prayer for these folks while you're sitting there. Trust that God is gaining the victory in lives today. Lord, today on behalf of our dear folks, I pray that you would hear these prayers. Lord, help us to respond the way that you would have wanted us to. We just want to be closer to you. We want to have a closer relationship with you so that we can in turn be a blessing to others and reach others with the message of the gospel of Jesus. We open our hearts again to you. We pray that you have had the victory in all of these matters today. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.